Living Well. The ABCs of Z's by Lance Frazier. One in every three Americans doesn't get enough sleep on a regular basis, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. Insufficient or poor sleep can lead to increased risk of auto accidents, poor performance at work and in the classroom, and more. Researchers are learning how a lack of quality sleep affects the human body in other ways, too. Alan Avedon, director of the UCLA Sleep Disorders Center, calls it an epidemic, noting that 6 or fewer hours can put a person at risk for numerous health problems, including diabetes, elevated blood pressure, arrhythmia, and other cardiac issues. Obesity, too. Lack of sleep produces hormones that stimulate the appetite, and it doesn't take much. Then there's the one-hour shift to daylight saving time, which doubles the rate of single-vehicle accidents. During sleep, our bodies get rid of toxins in our system, which includes the brain. Get too little sleep, and those toxins build up. And it's not enough just to tick off a certain number of sleep hours. If you get 7 to 8 hours, but your sleep is fragmented, you aren't spending enough time in the deeper stages of sleep your body needs, and you can't just make up for it the next night. While your body can rejuvenate and restore its systems, it takes 7 to 8 hours of good sleep to make up for every hour of sleep lost, Avedon says. A study by researchers at UCLA's David Geffen School of Medicine and Tel Aviv University found that insufficient or low-quality sleep robs the neurons in the brain of the ability to function properly, affecting the way we perceive and react to the world around us. Another study indicated that sleep deprivation may affect the body's ability to heal wounds. And a third indicated that sleep deprivation can be a contributing factor to depression. The best approach is to work on the way you get ready to sleep, Avedon says. Often people will read, watch TV, text, or work on the computer until they go to bed. But it's better to focus on getting disengaged from the patterns that keep the brain engaged, he says. Sleep is not negotiable. Your body and your mind cannot get by with less. If you wake up and still continue to feel sleepy, if you find it's impacting the quality of your life, see your physician. Lance Frazier is a California-based freelance writer specializing in health and medicine, science, nature, and the environment. Resources: National Sleep Foundation, sleepfoundation.org. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, part of the National Institute of Health. nhlbi.nih.gov. UCLA Sleep Center, sleepcenter.ucla.edu. What to Know About CBD by Brian Wallheimer. Lately, we're hearing cannabidiol, known as CBD, suggested as the answer to everything from anxiety and sleeplessness to aches and pain. It's sold as an oil and a lotion, in foods like gummy bears and drinks, and added to bath bombs, dog treats, and other products. In an interview with the American Legion magazine, cannabis expert Peter Grinspoon, a primary care physician at Massachusetts General Hospital and an instructor at Harvard Medical School, cuts through the hype. He says it's important to distinguish between CBD and tetrahydrocannabidol, THC, the compound in marijuana that has an intoxicating effect. CBD is found in cannabis plants, but doesn't produce a high. Hemp has CBD in it, and CBD is non-intoxicating and non-addictive. It's one of the hundreds of chemical compounds in cannabis. How can CBD help a person? There is some early data that show CBD helps in terms of performance anxiety and public speaking. People also think it helps with sleep, anxiety, and pain. It has potential for treating addiction. It has potential as an antimicrobial. It's been approved by the FDA for pediatric epilepsy syndromes. It also seems to have potential as an adjunct to other treatment regimens for cancer. People with a type of brain tumor called glioblastoma live longer if CBD is part of the regimen, based on some preliminary data. We're just discovering the potential. So it's exciting, but it does seem like people are sort of exploiting the hopes people have for CBD. People are making CBD pillowcases and workout clothes and hamburgers. Hopefully we can navigate a middle path between harnessing the potential of CBD and not having people exploited. Does CBD have potential for treating PTSD? There's some evidence of benefit of CBD for PTSD in early case studies, but it hasn't been definitively proven. In a small research study, patients showed a decrease in PTSD severity. The Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine reported, patients also received routine psychiatric care during the 8-week trial. The report says CBD was generally well tolerated, and no patients discontinued treatment due to side effects, adding that more thorough clinical tests are necessary. Does it matter how you take CBD? We're not recommending vaping because of vape-related illnesses, but people can take gummy bears, use the oils or the creams, whatever they find most effective. The doses people use tend to be lower than the doses in studies. In animal studies, they were usually 20 to 30 milligrams per kilogram. The gummy bears tend to be 30 milligrams. If you're talking about 30 milligrams per kilogram, a human being is like 70 kilograms. So the doses people take are very small, much smaller than the doses shown to work in animals. What are CBD's risks? It's not regulated, so you have to do a little bit of homework. The federal government tested some CBD suppliers, and some didn't have CBD. Some had THC. You have to make sure the CBD is from a safe supplier so you're not getting anything else like pesticides, heavy metals, etc. CBD affects your metabolism in the same way as grapefruit juice. It competitively metabolizes liver enzymes, meaning it can increase the blood level of a couple of drugs. If you're on a blood thinner, you'd want to tell your doctor you're starting CBD, because they might want to check the level of the blood thinner more frequently. You want to think in terms of comparing CBD with other products you would use for similar issues. Other medications have risks as well. So you're comparing it for pain with opiates or non-steroidals, which cause kidney damage or ulcers, or for anxiety compared to antidepressants. It is not free of risk or side effects, but compared to what you would be using otherwise, it has a pretty benign safety profile. Is it legal to obtain and use CBD? Generally speaking, it's safe to purchase, but it's not 100% everywhere. Each state has a law stipulating what is legal about CBD. It is largely, but not completely, legal. What should you know about buying CBD? Make sure you get it from a source that has independent, third-party laboratory testing so you know you're getting the CBD they're selling you and nothing else. Recently, Leafly analyzed nearly 50 CBD products. Among its findings, 51% delivered the CBD promised on their labels. 15% delivered more than 120% of what was advertised, and 11% had zero CBD. Brian Wallheimer is a freelance writer specializing in science. Got prebiotics? We've all heard about prebiotics, the good gut bacteria found in supplements, yogurt, and other fermented foods, including kimchi and kombucha. Say hello to prebiotics, compounds that feed the friendly bacteria in the gut. According to Marissa Moore, a registered dietitian nutritionist with the U.S. News and World Report, prebiotics are largely fermentable carbohydrates that help nourish gut bacteria so they can better thrive. Prebiotics are linked to reduced inflammation, can boost immunity, and may also have a positive effect on blood cholesterol and triglycerides, and mental health, Moore adds. Prebiotics are found in honey, bananas, carrots, radishes, onions, garlic, soybeans, asparagus, certain greens, certain artichokes, and some cereals. Hannah Holscher, assistant professor of nutrition at the University of Illinois, says, "When I think about prebiotics, I remember the E for the energy they provide for gut bacteria. And for prebiotics, I think of the word O for organism in the gut microbiome." Man's best friend. A study published in Circulation, Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes, suggests that having a dog is beneficial to heart attack and stroke survivors who live alone. The research team observed Swedes ages 40 to 85 who suffered a heart attack or stroke between 2001 and 2012, and found that people who suffered heart attacks and lived alone were 33% less likely to die after being released from the hospital if they owned dogs. Stroke victims who owned dogs saw a 27% lower risk of death. The study's authors surmise that the lower risk of death associated with dog ownership could be due to the increase in physical activity, as well as a decrease in loneliness and depression. According to the study, more research is needed to confirm a causal relationship and offer recommendations about prescribing dogs for prevention. Living Well is designed to provide general information. It is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice. Readers should consult their physicians when they have health problems.